All right, folks, welcome. It's 6 p.m. I'm going to call to order the October 12th, 2021 virtual select board meeting for the town of Heath. Welcome, everyone. First up, identification of callers. Myself, Robin Provost Carlson. I'm here. Sue Lively.
Here.
Oh, and we are recording. FYI, sorry, recording. Brian DeVries.
Here.
We have Hilma Sumner.
I'm here.
And for guests, we have Bob Gruen.
I'm here, not recording.
Thanks, Bob. Margaret Freeman. Hi, Margaret. We have the Gordon, at least one Gordon, if not both. I saw both walking by.
Gordon.
There. Hello. Ned Wolf.
Permission to record.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Crystal Smith.
I'm here.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
And Pam Porter.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. So that's all we have for right now. Next on the agenda is the review of the agenda. We have appointments to add roughly at about 6:45. It looks like we have the Heath Regionalization Group, and also Martha Thurber is going to be joining in somewhere around that same time. So I'm going to watch my clock, but give me a holler out if I be missing that time, but I'll be watching. That's what I have for agenda review. Sue, do you have anything for the agenda?
No.
Brian?
I have nothing.
Hilma?
Nope, nothing else.
All right, great. Next item is a review of the minutes. So we are looking at the virtual minutes, the Select Board Town of Heath meeting for September 28th, 2021. Sue?
Just a couple things, actually. On the bottom of the first page, under in the second paragraph of the axon, I felt like we needed a little bit more detail in there. You had written in that he said 5 to 30 employees, and he corrected himself that during that meeting and said probably more like 10 to 15, and that there would be some benefits, although not the same as full-time employees because they were seasonal. He said truck traffic would be minimal. They didn't really share any major concerns about the road. And they did say that there'd be an 8-foot fence around everything.
I think he did say there'd be an uptick during the harvest, right?
Mm-hmm. He did originally, yes. But when I questioned him on it this past time, I said, you know, they were talking about the possibility of up to 30 jobs. And then he said that after being there and seeing it, he thought it would be more like 10 to 15. So,
okay. All right.
And in the first paragraph under office relocation, you have Tim listed as the emergency medical director.
Oh, yep. Management. Thank you.
And on page 3, under the Hilltown Theater, in the last sentence, town council's opinion will be sought as to whether the board can discuss and decide on the final terms of the lease before final discussion with Jonathan. I think maybe you meant to put in there whether it had to be done in executive session or... It just didn't quite make sense to me.
Yes, after lease. I think in executive session.
And that's all I had.
Okay, great. Brian, did you have anything in the minutes?
I have on the second page, under office relocation, the second paragraph, that the board agreed that both the cost and viability of repairing and or replacing the office area will need to be analyzed. And then it says a structural engineer may need to be called in to assess the fire station wall. Because it's the wall in the fire station that's the issue and not the condition of the wood structure. Because it's an unreinforced concrete black wall.
Okay.
And I think there's some cracking that was a concern. Right, you got that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and then on the bottom of the page under Board of Health members, where it says... although it had been requested by the Board of Health to have a third candidate appointed as an ex officio member, the select board wants to clarify if an ex officio member can be appointed. Well, ex officio is not the proper term to use for that. It would be an associate member.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay. I had questions in kind of the same area, so we've caught all of my items as well. So if there isn't anything further, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes of September 28, 2021 as amended.
So move.
Second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Let's see, we have a 6:15 appointment with the Municipal Light Board. We're a little early for that. So I'll open up and see if anybody has public comments. I know we have that on the schedule as well. So is there anyone here who'd like to speak for during public comment?
I will, if I may.
Oh, sure, go ahead, Margaret.
It's actually been followed by...
Okay. I don't know if we can answer, but okay.
Okay, all right. Here it goes. Right now, there are several of reliable, and so I have going, and I'm there are open hour walk-in. I've been through that, but for example, I have, and I'm just wondering, what are the, if I want to go to my, that's my...
I'm going to take a stab at an answer for you. From what I understand, technically, the hub hours have come to a close, I believe. And I believe that if you need access, because there are still people who do not have services, we're going to learn a little bit more later from Municipal Light Board. We'll hear about the scheduling a little bit more, talk about it. I believe that you can contact Hilma, maybe. Is that right, Hilma? So, and make arrangements.
Yes.
And Hilma, yeah. And Hilma will work that out with Tim.
What is it? I don't, so, okay. So, but then how do I know that I can go to, and where do I go? Can I, to certain...
Yeah, I don't think we have, we don't have a follow-up after we close the hub officially, do we?
Come on, and I'm thinking, it's just talking about my own, what about other people?
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. The select board will have to talk about that, because I think at this point there aren't set hours. So we'll have to, as a group, talk about that.
I wanted to make that submit. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Other, Sheila.
It's a similar question. I wondered what was the story about the access at from the town hall too. I'm hearing from people that they're not able to connect the same way they used to be.
Okay. So we'll have to discuss that select board and come up with a policy and get it back out since we've had changes.
Robin?
Was that you, Hilma? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. There are signs posted on the buildings with the new hotspot connections, Wi-Fi connections that can be accessed from the parking areas in front of Town Hall and Community Hall. Basically, it's two open Wi-Fi connections. One is Heath Guest. The other is Heath Library. Does not require a password. It does require agreeing to the terms of use. That is the first screen that somebody comes to.
If I may, that's fine for a normal, and you're on as you've got to pull hours.
I'm not addressing that, Margaret.
Oh, okay.
I'm not addressing that at all. I'm just addressing Sheila's question.
Okay.
To access internet at Town Hall.
I see.
Yeah, different.
Thanks, Hilma. Can we make sure we get that on the website as well? If it is not, it may be, and I just don't know that. So so this is still, I just want to make sure everybody knows this is public comment. So, but yeah. Go ahead.
Just a logistical thing. We wondered if we could record, and I think you have to give us permission to do that.
The host.
Yeah.
Is it working now? I pushed it before, but check now.
No.
It's now if I push it again, it's going to remove permission to record.
No worky.
Oh, well, don't worry about it.
Let's try it again. Third time might be a charm.
Ready?
I've done it.
No.
Still says, please ask the host to give you permission to record.
That's okay.
Can Robin, you try
Robin? Robin, is the select board recording?
Yeah, it's being being recorded. Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
We have that.
Yep, it is being recorded. Anybody else for public comment? Okay. Thank you. So it's 6:13. Anything quick, Hilma, that you want to share?
Well, I guess that I 2 weeks ago, well after the meeting, I sent follow-up emails to Exxon with some questions and some information from our town council. I had not heard anything back. I sent a follow-up email earlier today and still have not heard back. So there's really nothing new with that.
Okay. All right. So I think we're pretty close to 6:15. Let's go ahead. Let's see. Who do we have here? Do you guys have I see you, Sheila, and we have Art and Ned. So do you guys are you posted for today?
No. So the plan is I would give you a, between David and myself, we'll try to answer all your questions.
Okay. All right. So who would like to begin? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we've got some really good news in that the fiber service area 3 has just begun to be opened up for, and people are starting to get appointments to get installed. This is huge. This is one we've been waiting for forever, as you in FSA 3 have been waiting. So we know of several people that are going to get installed. We're hoping that it will be, are willing to come back. They don't live too far away. And so that as their appointments come up, we hope to get as many of them installed as long as the roads are still passable in Mohawk States. And we keep pushing to make sure that those that are doing the installations understand that once there's snow on those roads, they're not maintained. So they know it, but we, you know, we just keep pushing to try to make sure it happens as soon as possible. So right now we have 170 homes that have service. There are about 236 yet to be installed. And so we should see that 170 really climb quickly over the next month or two, we hope. Okay. So that's really good news. Another quick update is that Bill Ennen gave Hilma and I the really good news that we no longer have to do quarterly reports. We just submitted our last one, which is amazing to think of something coming off the plate. You know, it kind of shows us that there is progress being made. Something can go away. So that's one thing that can go away. That's very good. Very, very good news. So that's my quick update on where we stand with the network build. And I wanted to turn it over to David, and then I'll talk about something else. So
thank you.
Any questions for Sheila before I jump in? Okay, well, Sheila and I are going to tag team a little bit on these items that we would like you to, you know, bring to you tonight. I apologize for sending the information to you so late in a 3-day weekend, but I hope you had a chance to at least glance over it. We have 4 items tonight that we want to talk about. One is really critical that we would like you to act on tonight, and that is the item number 1, which is the capital item purchase of the HUT security monitoring system, includes purchase of equipment and installation. It's $13,378.33. We feel this is a critical item to have to protect our assets. We have over $100,000 or close to $100,000 worth of electronics in that HUT, and people in the town are depending on it, some already, and pretty soon a large number for phone service as well as internet communications. So this monitors will allow us to monitor environmental conditions, and the capability of the company, we feel very confident, is the one to go with the Cibula proposal. So because it is a capital purchase, we're covering it under the initial build cost, which, as you know, I described in August, we're in good shape on that in terms of being well under budget for the original estimates of building out the network. So we feel that this is an appropriate use to be able to purchase this and have that, protect our assets. So any questions on that? Because we would really like you to take a vote on that and approve that tonight so that we can have you sign that and get that forward. I also wanted to mention that with the, there's an urgency just to get that in place, and also because of the supply chain issues with electronics and other goods, as I'm sure you're all well aware of, we want to get moving on it as quickly as possible. So any questions about that?
Thanks, David. Brian, do you have questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if the municipal light board reviewed this and they voted to approve, because I'm not sure what the procedures are for something like this. And
yes. I'm sorry, we and I mentioned that, but the MLB voted to recommend that the select board recommend to the select board that they enter into this contract.
Okay, thank you.
Sue, do you have questions? Oh, sorry, hold on, Sue. Sheila?
Just one little add-on, that all of the Wired West towns also agreed to go with the Cibola contract, so that the money is considers the fact that there were lots of towns that were interested in going with this particular contract. So we independently reviewed it, and all the towns in Wired West reviewed them together, and everybody's going with this particular one.
And I might also add that because this is part of the improvement in capital purchase of the broadband system, these are eligible for ARPA funding to cover the cost. Just, you know, one more place or option for you in terms of using that money. But we, you know, it can also, if we can go with it now, and then that can be reimbursed later on, because we're really anxious to get moving on.
All right. In terms of approving this, should we go through the other quotes and then just vote on the whole thing? Because I see a service contract.
Well, this is the only one that we're asking the select board to approve. The other quotes are for operational costs.
Okay.
That will come out of operational revenue, and we will be able to pay for that. So we thought it would be appropriate for the MLB and the MLP to sign off on the operational contracts, the ongoing annual contracts, and we'll just cover those with our operational revenue.
Okay.
Sue, do you have questions?
I just have one, which is a curiosity factor. Does the HUT currently have any security measures built into it?
It has locks. It has an electronic keypad. And the problem with that is we change the code regularly, but we also give that code to the contractors, because they need to be in and out of it, Tri-Wire and Westfield Gas and Electric. So it's not an ideal way to manage access to a building. We also have put in a temporary remote temperature monitor, just because, you know, through the summer, we just wanted to make sure that if something happened to the air conditioner, we would know about it as soon as possible, so that we could address it, because that's really bad for us. And I guess the other thing, we do have some remote monitoring of the generator. So we, Sheila and I both receive alerts, and it does its weekly check. And so the HUT came with a lot of sensors, smoke detector and so on, but they're not hooked up to be remotely monitored. What this will do is will allow us to have a company 24/7 monitor all of those crucial parameters.
Okay, so there is some minimal security there.
Minimal.
While we wait for... for the more elaborate setup to be put in place.
Right. And what we need to do we'll come back to you once we understand more about who gets called from a company perspective when an alarm goes off. We might need to decide who in Heath has to respond for certain of these alarms. So that is a conversation we expect to probably have with you in the near future when we learn more ourselves.
Okay. I'm also following up on that, Sheila, I remember having a meeting that a small group of us were involved in with Jeff and Tim, that whole conversation, kind of along that whole who takes care of what. And is that going to continue? You're talking about that information.
Operations to monitor these alarms. And that is $220 a year in order to have that monitoring happen. And as Sheila mentioned, once we enter into that, we will hear back from them. You know, who do we need to, give them contact information or establish a protocol for when an alarm goes off as to who is contacted. And so that'll be coming up down the line.
Okay.
And again, that'll come out of operating revenue, and we're just bringing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions on that piece, Brian?
No, I have none.
Sue?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So the third item on the list that we wanted to talk about was about generator preventive maintenance. So again, just late this afternoon, we finally got the proposal from Kinsley, and I have forwarded it to the select board. It may not have reached you in time for your packet tonight. There's no action required on your part tonight, so it's really more for information for you and for your consideration. Basically, in a nutshell, what it is that Kinsley is the local, the area Kohler representative, and highly recommended. Their proposal costs $804, and they would come twice a year to do a significant long series of checks on the generator, provide a report back for that. And so I've sent you that entire proposal for your thoughts. You can think about whether or not it might be of interest to you to ask Kinsley to come and look and put a proposal in for the town for all the town generators, including the hut generator. If that happened in the future, of course, the hut generator piece, we'd have to have them bill that separately because that will be paid for by broadband revenue. But it might be something that the select board might want to look into to have to be sure you're getting the right kind of maintenance, preventive maintenance on your generators. And you've got quite a few of them now at this point. So it's just really food for thought for you. And again, the cost of the two preventive maintenance inspections they've already done on the hut generator, that will come out of the existing broadband borrowing. And then any future costs will be part of our operations revenues. So in fact, we usually recommend that all of those invoices would end up going to Wired West and basically just come right out of come right off the top of our revenue that we make from the customers. So anyway, that's just really just for food for your thoughts.
Thank you. Are there other items that either one of you wanted?
The main MBI fiber that services the Western Mass towns and caused an outage for several towns for many hours or a day or two. I don't remember how long. But at this point, that becomes quite critical to us because we're relying on that service for, again, for internet service and phone service. So the Western Mass towns entered into an agreement, the Hill towns entered into an agreement with West Hill Gas and Electric to design a more redundant backhaul system that did not have a single point of failure, a single fiber that could be cut and cause us to have an outage lasting a number of hours. So we are in phase one of that, which is the design phase. We are entering in meetings with our neighboring towns that are forming what they call the North Geo Cluster. These are towns that have interconnectivity with their fiber or will have interconnectivity so that we can provide diverse paths to the internet should there be a problem within a particular town. Those towns include Heath, Rowe, Charlemont, Leiden, and Coleraine. We have, as part of this phase one, a preliminary estimate for the cost of phase two, which is the build of that redundancy, that building in the redundancy for those towns. It has come in at around $20,000, which is about what I had guessed at back in August. But there's more work to be done in planning. We haven't decided on a final design. To be honest, I think it's going to be more than that because I think that there will be some, I think that what they came back with their first designs falls short in a couple of areas, but it'll take a couple of weeks for us to come up with a final cost for that. Again, once we decide to go ahead with this, this will be a capital cost. It's improving our municipal light plant, our fiber plant. It will be eligible for ARP.
Bob and I have been working hard on this, getting this survey pulled together. I believe you have a copy of the content in an email sent to you today. I have three points I'd like to make about the survey, and then we can open it up for conversation and discussion. But two are editing. There's a link that I refer to in the introduction, which is the link to the update that this regionalization study team has posted on the town website. And for some reason, in the Google Forms form that I was working on, it wouldn't copy in as a link, as an active hyperlink. I'd like to find out how to make that work. Just, that's an editing question. Question number nine is a very open-ended question. It asks, which of those four schools, hypothetically, would you prefer? That's a difficult question in a number of ways. Bob and I talked about this a little bit earlier this afternoon, and I think what I would do is, in the parentheses, just reiterate that something to the effect of, I have to do the wordsmithing, but something to the effect of, remember, formal partnership would not be available for some of these choices next year or even possibly the year after. Choice is always available. I think it's trying to work with and reassure parents that they have choices. There is a significant decision and potential change going on here, but I think that it would be absolutely fascinating to see where the majority of people in Heath, what school they identified as their hypothetical preference. I don't. That's the other editing issue. I need to understand where the tabulation and calculation of results of the survey lands, how they're receivable. This is being done through Google Forms and through a Mohawk Trail Regional School District Google account. So I just need to go do the back work on that, make sure that the three of us are going to have access to what that tabulation is and be able to get that access fast, get the tabulations of results and work with it, because that's what we need to do over the next few weeks. So those are the three things that I wanted to bring up.
Their general population's opinion about something that I don't feel that it's your intention that this is a majority vote, that you're just going to go up, that you want to get information, but you're going to have to not want to disappoint people either, that their choices are not being taken seriously, that you're going to have to present a counter argument saying we have studied this and we feel this makes the most sense for the town of Heath.
I agree. Well, go ahead, Budge, and then I'll let Sue comment, and then myself also.
I very much agree with you, Brian. And given that fact that a decision is going to be made by people who have been buried in this for a long, long time, I think that the general population would like to know that at least they got to make their statement. They got to say, this is what I would prefer. And it was considered in the decision-making process. This is not a beauty contest. We're not doing it that way. But I think people want to be able to have a voice.
Sue, do you have any questions, thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. First, I really understand the time crunch that you're under, which I think is very unfortunate, because I think that this survey could be improved upon quite a bit if you had more time to really think about it and work on it. It's unfortunate that the schedule is so tight. So, but given that, number one, Brian's thing about a school profile, maybe you can make a short blip available online where you have this other link that gives a little bit of a profile about each school. But I think, and I'm thinking a little bit about this letter that we got from a parent who supports going to Roe and feels like their opinion didn't get considered last time. There's clearly some misunderstandings in that. And so I hate to see this survey create another layer of misunderstanding. So one thing I think it would be important to put in there is that the two priorities from a school committee perspective and a town perspective is that we must have security for the education of our children. We have to have a secure place for them. We can't just be bouncing around from one place to another. And it has to be affordable. So Roe is not considered a really viable option for us because it certainly is not affordable. We can't afford to pay the same amount that they pay for their per student cost. And we have no indication that they would be willing to enter into a long-term agreement. Things are not working out with Hallamont because we cannot find a clear way to get to a long-term arrangement with them, a permanent arrangement. And that's the real holdup. And that's what's brought this possibility down. So it seems to me like it's important to have something in there that explains that to parents. So that was my biggest thought about the introductory paragraph, that somehow in a sentence or two, being able to summarize why we are where we are right now. This is what has happened. And this is how come all of a sudden this is all coming up again. And I'm not sure a lot of people understand that. So then the other comments I had to make were more about the guts of the survey. I think there are a lot of people who are not going to understand what those initials are. BSE, CCS, HRS, they're not going to know. Some people aren't.
Sue, if I can interrupt quickly, those are my notes.
Okay.
In the online version, everything's spelled out completely.
Everything's spelled out, okay. And then question four, and this is just a formatting thing which makes more sense to me. Number one, you don't tell, you have to put something in there that tells which number means it's the highest priority and which means it's the lowest priority. You just say 1 through 5 of importance. So that needs to be clarified. But I didn't know if instead of having 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you just have number 4, which is please rate these, the things below. And then you have a little chart with those in it and a little graph line next to it with 1 through 5 so that they can just circle the one that where it falls in their priority list. And I also didn't know if you wanted to add in something like educational opportunities or community involvement or something along those lines as part of what people might rate as important.
Yeah,
I mean, educational opportunities really should be a major consideration. Yep.
A couple of quick follow-ups again. In the formatting in the Google form, it's clearly stated 1 to 5. 5 is most important.
Okay.
So yes, that's there. What you're looking at are the notes that we were working from, not the actual Google form, because that's still a work in progress.
Okay. All right. And number 9 has come up many times here. We've all had some questions about number 9. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I agree with you that it's nice to get people's thoughts about where their children should go, but it's a kind of question that just leads people to misunderstand the intent of the question. So I was just wondering about wording that might say, after they've done their priorities, which school do you see best meeting your family's priorities for education? If that would be less of a message to them that they're getting a chance to really choose. It's just asking which ones they see as meeting their personal priorities. It's just another way to look at it or word it. So those were my main things.
Thanks, Sue. And just before, and then I'll open it back up to the three of you, but I'm not going to repeat what Brian and Sue have said, because it basically, if I had started, you'd hear the same thing coming from me. Number 9, well, I'll back up and say surveys can be really helpful and they can be also really disastrous and just create more work afterwards, more cleanup work. But I totally understand the want to know what people are thinking. It just, to me, timing wise, since you're trying to get it in really quick, I do wonder if you'll get a thorough picture of what, you know, is everybody going to respond? You're only going to be able to hit people that are email. So there's other groups of people in Heath that are not going to be included. They're not going to have a chance to give their say. You know, what does that do if people are talking in town? I assume most of the students, parents, the families will get it because they're getting emails. I would say most are getting emails through the school system. So they have the ability to, so the group of people that you're targeting, I guess, and that you'll get the information from is families, right? Okay, Budge, I just want to keep going before I lose everything, but go ahead and say what you want. No, go ahead.
Right, okay. communication to the families is actually one of my biggest concerns, because I don't believe that the town list is very strong when it comes to younger folks in town and families. I've spoken to a number of families who did not receive the update, which I appreciate the select board having him send out. And so I'm still in the process of looking at ways of emphasizing to families through the schools, and may have to do it through a newsletter, that please look for this email or see if we can put a link on the website for this survey, because I'm not convinced that we're getting good, solid, really well-rounded feedback there. And that is obviously the most important.
Yeah. So that's a concern that's okay. So yeah. That's a concern I had just in general about the survey. And I agree from what Brian said, obviously, I mean, I get it. You're not going to use this piece of paper and the answers from this to make your decisions. It's to give you a gut feeling maybe, or to get some type of insight. And it is good to get people's feedback, as many people who are willing to give feedback. It's nice to have that. It's just that everybody is coming from a different point of view. Everybody does have other information in their head. People have preferences, they have experiences. They know somebody who goes someplace and they are, you know, thinking probably a good deal of them about themselves and their own situation, not necessarily their neighbor or the person who's going to move into town in 2 months that has 3 kids or 5 kids or who knows, or what happens in 6 months, or, you know, it's that bigger picture that isn't answered, I don't think, by the group of people who will respond. I just thought about it myself. Like, if I received this, not having my own children, having never had children in the school system, how would I answer this? That's what I was trying to figure out for myself. Like, what information would I give so that I felt I was giving help in thinking what I thought was best for all the families in Heath now and in the future? I was a little challenged as to how I'd answer it, but I get the want to do a survey. I understand it. And if it's felt to be the best thing to do, I would support it. I also am bothered by number 9. I think number 9 is a loaded question. And I do agree with Sue that it probably could be worded a little differently so as to make sure that people understand that, yeah, we're asking this question, or you're asking this question, to get the information based on what they think their family needs are. But it's not just about one family, right? It's about our whole town and everybody who's here. Whether you have one child, no child, you have 5 children, whatever it is, those who are here now, those who are coming, we hope there are more coming. So it's tough. It's interesting to me too, though, that the questions that you asked, like the availability of before and after school programs and the transportation, you guys have already kind of answered that for yourselves because you just gave us the update that things are pretty even, Steven, between the schools. So some of that information you already have also. Bob, then Barbara.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, in case you didn't know, that our first choice was to have the individual schools send this out to Heath students that would be in the schools. Bingo, bango, bongo, it goes right to those people, and that would work great. However, that couldn't happen because both school committees, the Hallamont School Committee and the Mohawk School Committee, would have had to meet, would have had to give their permission, and we really didn't have the time. And so we really did mull over, well, should we have a town meeting? Should we, you know, how do we do this? And we all came to an agreement that the best way was to try and get a survey out there through you, because then if you give your permission, it can happen right then and right there. And that's what we felt was most important, to get this on the road and get people to be able to answer those questions. And the other thing is, even when all is said and done, people have school choice. They right. can put down what they want here. Ultimately, Budge and Barbara are going to have to make a choice. And then, in a sense, that doesn't matter. Because even after all of that, parents can still decide that they want to send their kids to private schools. They want to send them to Rowe or Hallamont or wherever. And school choice has shuffled the deck in ways that nobody ever thought was going to happen. And right. it exists. It's a reality. And we have to deal with that as well. So we have to follow our agreement with Mohawk, which was that a decision would have to be made between the two choices that they gave us. And so that's what we're trying to do. I wish a better way had happened, but this is what we have now. This is the reality of what we have now.
And I think I understand that. And that's why I said I would support it if that's what you feel really gives you the information that is needed to make that decision, or helps give you information. It won't give you all the information you need. Obviously, you guys have done your homework. You know, you've spoken to people. I agree with Brian. There's other entities that
we have suspended that for. What Sue brought up was security for our children, for their education. and fiscal sustainability. So I do feel it's not only a wonderful idea, I feel it's the idea that we should definitely pursue, is to reword the entrance, the townspeople open this email and this is where we are, why we're on a deadline, and why we have to choose an elementary school again. Because I can hear the townspeople going, we just did this. Why are we doing it again? Why are we? And they have no idea. And in the future, we do have the possibility of, you know, speaking to families directly in virtual hall format, but that will be after data is gathered, and to answer those questions about, you know, yes, you will have school choice, and what do you do if you don't have a bus and things like that, because that's been brought up on the Hallamont school committee level. And also, I know Budge was at that meeting, and I heard that meeting where, you know, there may be discussions in the future for further questions for families, but this particular survey, I think we need to clear about the fact that, unfortunately, it is falling only on Budge and myself to make this decision. It's not like this, you know, let's call a town meeting, let's have a roundtable, let's chat and discuss. Like, we are literally facing a deadline on this, which I don't think the greater public is going to understand, no matter how much I correct it in person or by email. Or Budge is getting the word out. Budge, how do you feel about being more clear in the beginning paragraph?
I'm completely open to ideas for other just clarifications to throw in there. Please just send them to me by email. I don't think we want to use the select board's time doing the micro editing of those statements. Just send me an email. I'll work it out. What I'm really interested in is approval to ask Hilma to communicate this out via the town coordinator's email list. Once the three of us agree that it's good to go, get it out there. But yep, please do share ideas. Sue, I'd like some of your thoughts. Please send them along.
Yeah. So hold on one second, Hilma. So that is where I was going to direct this, was to just kind of get the final feedback from Sue and Brian that they either agree with me or disagree with me, that I'm fine. Personally, my personal feelings, I am fine with a survey going out, and I trust that you will word it correctly. But Hilma, what did you have to say? And then I'll open up to Brian and Sue.
Well, I was just going to say, I strongly recommend that you add a deadline date of when surveys need to be returned by, because otherwise, you know,
you won't get it.
Just keep coming and coming.
Yeah.
A year from now.
Yeah. So Brian, your feelings on a survey, are you comfortable saying okay to the survey?
Well, I think we charged this group with figuring out how to investigate this problem and to come up with recommendations. So if this is what they feel is a tool they need, then I certainly support it.
Okay.
We just evaluate or we gave our opinions about maybe what some of the concerns might be in the way questions are framed, or question, you know, how many questions should be asked or deleted. But nonetheless, this is what they want to do, and we have to support this.
So,
I think with the time frame that they've got in front of them, if this is something they feel will be helpful, that we should support it. They've heard our thoughts on it. Hopefully, sometimes having several people discuss things and take a closer look helps you find modifications that are helpful and more meaningful in the work that you're doing. So hopefully the discussion that we've had will kind of lead them into some improvements in what they've already created here, and do the best they can. I mean, we're pretty much caught between a rock and a hard place here. I mean, you know, we have to do something.
Yep. Yeah.
If we had to make a choice between Buckland, Shelburne, and Coleraine, I wouldn't be able to do it without coming to you and saying, well, how do we make this decision? You know, because I don't know enough about those two schools. I just heard that they're both
All right, folks.
Welcome. It's 6 p.m. I'm going to call to order the October 12th, 2021 virtual select board meeting for the town of Heath. Welcome, everyone. First up, identification of callers. Myself, Robin Provost Carlson. I'm here. Sue Lively.
Here.
Oh, and we are recording. FYI. Sorry. Recording. Brian DeVries.
Here.
We have Helma Sumner.
I'm here.
And for guests, we have Bob Gruen.
I'm here, not recording.
Thanks, Bob. Margaret Freeman. Hi, Margaret. We have the Gordon, at least one Gordon, if not both. I saw both walking by.
Gordon. There.
Hello. Ned Wolf.
Permission to record.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Crystal Smith.
I'm here.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
And Pam Porter.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. So that's all we have for right now. Next on the agenda is the review of the agenda. We have appointments to add roughly at about 6:45. It looks like we have the Heath Regionalization Group, and also Martha Thurber is going to be joining in somewhere around that same time. So I'm going to watch my clock, but give me a holler out if I be missing that time, but I'll be watching. That's what I have for agenda review. Sue, do you have anything for the agenda?
Nope.
Brian?
I have nothing.
Helma?
Nope, nothing else.
All right, great. Next item is a review of the minutes. So we are looking at the virtual minutes, the Select Board Town of Heath meeting for September 28th, 2021. Sue?
Just a couple things, actually. On the bottom of the first page, under in the second paragraph of the axon, I felt like we needed a little bit more detail in there. You had written in that he said 5 to 30 employees, and he corrected himself that during that meeting and said probably more like 10 to 15, and that there would be some benefits, although not the same as full-time employees because they were seasonal. He said truck traffic would be minimal. They didn't really share any major concerns about the road. And they did say that there'd be an 8-foot fence around everything.
I think he did say there'd be an uptick during the harvest, right?
Mm-hmm. He did originally, yes. But when I questioned on him on it this past time, I said, you know, they were talking about the possibility of up to 30 jobs. And then he said that after being there and seeing it, he thought it would be more like 10 to 15. So,
okay. All right.
And in the first paragraph under office relocation, you have Tim listed as the emergency medical director.
Oh, yep. Management. Thank you.
And on page 3, under the Hilltown Theater, in the last sentence, town council's opinion will be sought as to whether the board can discuss and decide on the final terms of the lease before final discussion with Jonathan. I think maybe you meant to put in there whether it had to be done in executive session or... It just didn't quite make sense to me.
Yes, after lease. I think in executive session.
And that's all I had.
Okay, great. Brian, did you have anything in the minutes?
I have under, on the second page, under office relocation, the second paragraph, that the board agreed that both the cost and viability of repairing and or replacing the office area will need to be analyzed. And then it says a structural engineer may need to be called in to assess the fire station wall. Because it's the wall in the fire station that's the issue and not the condition of the wood structure. Because it's an unreinforced concrete block wall.
Okay.
And I think there's some cracking that was a concern. Right, you got that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and then on the bottom of the page under Board of Health members, where it says... where although it had been requested by the Board of Health to have a third candidate appointed as an ex officio member, the select board wants to clarify if an ex officio member can be appointed. Well, ex officio is not the proper term to use for that. It would be an associate member.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay. I had questions in kind of the same area, so we've caught all of my items as well. So if there isn't anything further, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes of September 28, 2021 as amended.
So move.
Second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Let's see, we have a 6:15 appointment with the Municipal Light Board. We're a little early for that.
Robin, is the select board recording?
It is being recorded. Yes.
Okay, so we'll have that.
Yep, it is being recorded. Anybody else for public comment? Okay, thank you. So it's 6:13. Anything quick, Hilma, that you want to share?
Well, I guess that I, 2 weeks ago, after the meeting, I sent follow-up emails to Axon with some questions and some information from our town council. I had not heard anything back. I sent a follow-up email earlier today and still have not heard back. So there's really nothing new with that.
Okay. All right, so I think we're pretty close to 6:15. Let's go ahead. Let's see, who do we have here? Do you guys have I see you, Sheila, and we have Art and Ned. So do you guys have to, are you posted for today?
No, so the plan is, okay. I would give you between David and myself, we'll try to answer all your questions.
Okay, all right. So who would like to begin?
Me.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. So we've got some really good news in that the fiber service area 3 has just begun to be opened up for, and people are starting to get appointments to get installed. This is huge. This is one we've been waiting for forever, as you in FSA 3 have been waiting. So we know of several people that are going to get installed. We're hoping that it will be a good rate of installations. We're at least 3 a day is what we're pushing for, if not more. And so this will be really a really beneficial thing for people in that area. And then following that, the FSA 4, which is Mohawk Estates, will sometime around the week of Thanksgiving, they should be starting to get installed. And Jenny Hamilton has told us that many of the residents in that area are willing to come back. They don't live too far away. And so that as their appointments come up, we hope to get as many of them installed as long as the roads are still passable in Mohawk States. And we keep pushing to make sure that those that are doing the installations understand that once there's snow on those roads, they're not maintained. So they know it, but we just keep pushing to try to make sure it happens as soon as possible. So right now we have 170 homes that have service. There are about 236 yet to be installed. And we should see that 170 really climb quickly over the next month or two, we hope. Okay. So that's really good news. Another quick update is that Bill Ennen gave Hilma and I the really good news that we no longer have to do quarterly reports. We just submitted our last one, which is amazing to think of something coming off the plate. You know, it kind of shows us that there is progress being made. Something can go away. So that's one thing that can go away. That's very good. Very, very good news. So that's my quick update on where we stand with the network build. And I wanted to turn it over to David, and then I'll talk about something else. So
thank you.
Any questions for Sheila before I jump in? Okay. Well, Sheila and I are going to tag team a little bit on these items that we would like you to, bring to you tonight. I apologize for sending the information to you so late in a 3-day weekend, but I hope you had a chance to at least glance over it. We have 4 items tonight that we want to talk about. One is really critical that we would like you to act on tonight. And that is the item number 1, which is the capital item purchase of the HUT security monitoring system, includes purchase of equipment and installation. It's $13,378.33. We feel this is a critical item to have to protect our assets. We have over $100,000 or close to $100,000 worth of electronics in that hut, and people in the town are depending on it, some already, and pretty soon a large number for phone service as well as internet communications. So this monitors will allow us to monitor environmental conditions, you know, temperature, which can damage electronics if the air conditioning stops working, as well as physical security. There will be two cameras, one internal, one external, and recording of those cameras. And I think very importantly, there will be a new access system place option for you in terms of using that money. But we, you know, it can also, if we can go with it now, and then that can be reimbursed later on, because we're really anxious to get moving on.
Okay.
All right. In terms of approving this, should we go through the other quotes and then just vote on the whole thing? Because I see a service contract.
Well, this is the only one that we're asking the select board to approve. The other quotes are for operational costs.
Okay.
That will come out of operational revenue, and we will be able to pay for that. So we thought it would be appropriate for the MLB and the MLP to sign off on the operational contracts, the ongoing annual contracts, and we'll just cover those with our operational revenue.
Okay.
Sue, do you have questions?
I just have one, which is a curiosity factor. Does the hut currently have any security measures built into it?
It has locks. It has an electronic keypad. And the problem with that is we change the code regularly, but we also give that code to the contractors because they need to be in and out of it, Tri-Wire and Westfield Gas and Electric. So it's not an ideal way to manage access to a building. We also have put in a temporary remote temperature monitor, just because, you know, through the summer, we just wanted to make sure that if something happened to the air conditioner, we would know about it as soon as possible so that we could address it, because that's really bad for us. And I guess the other thing, we do have some remote monitoring of the generator. So we, Sheila and I both receive alerts and it does its weekly check. And so the hut came with a lot of sensors, smoke detector and so on, but they're not hooked up to be remotely monitored. What this will do is will allow us to have a company 24/7 monitor all of those crucial parameters.
Okay, so there is some minimal security there.
Minimal.
While we wait for for the more elaborate setup to be put in place.
Right, and what we need to do we'll come back to you once we understand more about who gets called from a company perspective when an alarm goes off. We might need to decide who in Heath has to respond for certain of these alarms. So that is a conversation we expect to probably have with you in the near future when we learn more ourselves.
Okay,
I'm also following up on that, Sheila. I remember having a meeting that a small group of us were involved in with Jeff and Tim, that whole conversation kind of along that whole who takes care of what. And is that going to continue? You're talking about that information, those meeting type of things?
That's exactly what we need to discuss. You know, once we know what the alarms are going to, where they're going to alarm, we'll have to just work that out. I mean, where is it appropriate for someone to respond? I mean, obviously, if it's a fire-related issue, the fire department's going to need to be connected somehow. But there's one of them is like a water intrusion. There's the temperature one that David mentioned. And so we probably want to have some system where somebody locally checks it out to see if it's real first before we start calling in, you know, somebody else. But to be determined. I mean, that is a future conversation that we will have with you.
Right. Okay. All right.
But in the meantime, Tim is still, you know, doing what he was doing, and Jeff is doing the outside clearing, whatever. Okay. That continues.
Okay. All right. So that conversation will also circle back to the actually who has those key fobs as when they show up, like who actually is going to be responsible for those. We should obviously have a sign out of some type, responsibility list, because those have a value to them as well. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Other questions in regards to this request for the select board to approve this proposal? Brian, anything else on this?
Nope.
Sue, anything else?
No.
Okay, so can I have a motion then, please?
I move that we approve the Cibola, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Proposal for the purchase and installation of hot monitoring equipment for the total of $13,378.33.
I second that.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay.
Thank you. The next item is related to that, and it's just really for your information. I already alluded to it with Brian's question, but we also have two quotes for annual contracts with Cibola. It wouldn't have had to have been with them, but they came in with, again, with the best prices of failure, a single fiber that could be cut and cause us to have an outage lasting a number of hours. So we are in phase one of that, which is the design phase. We are entering in meetings with our neighboring towns that are forming what they call the North Geo Cluster. These are towns that have interconnectivity with their fiber or will have interconnectivity so that we can provide diverse paths to the internet should there be a problem within a particular town. Those towns include Heath, Row, Charlemont, Leiden and Coleraine. We have, as part of this phase one, a preliminary estimate for the cost of phase two, which is the build of that redundancy, that building in the redundancy for those towns. It has come in at around $20,000, which is about what I had guessed at back in August. But there's more work to be done in planning. We haven't decided on a final design. To be honest, I think it's going to be more than that because I think that there will be some, I think that, that what they came back with their first designs falls short in a couple of areas, but it'll take a couple of weeks for us to come up with a final cost for that. Again, once we decide to go ahead with this, this will be a capital cost. It's improving our municipal light plant, our fiber plant. It will be eligible for ARPA funding. But we also, it will fall well within our initial budget for the build of the fiber system here in Heath. So we will be able to have the kind of redundancy that is really critical to providing, reliable services to our customer. So tonight I'm just bringing this as an update as of progress on that particular project.
And just a quick add-on to that, one of the things that we're looking at is making sure that we're not totally reliant on just MBI. We're really interested in other sources for internet provider so that if something really dramatic happens at the MBI line or their prices change or whatever, we can go elsewhere. For example, Berkshire East has a Verizon internet connection that they really like. And there's another connection through Crown Castle that we're exploring. So we're just really looking at something that would be significantly more reliable, over the long haul.
Yeah, thank you, Sheila. That's really important because the other thing, it does give us flexibility as to who our provider is. And we've gotten some preliminary estimates for Crown Castle and Verizon as well.
Call? Okay. I just have two questions and I alluded to it. I sent a note earlier to David. Is it possible within the next month or so to get an updated Heath broadband financing chart that you guys did? Can that be updated? Because that is really easy. I think it's really good for us to see those numbers. So that's one piece. And then my other piece is, And maybe I'm not correct with this, but I'm gonna ask it because that's what I do. So we've changed in these, the most recent financing charts that we're looking at, we've changed the number of drops, right? We came down from the number we had back, say, in January, and that's the numbers we're using. My question is a step further. That number of drops, is there a new operations update, like what the proposed incomes might be since the number of subscribers may be different now than when it was looked at, say, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago? And is that update something that the Municipal Light Board would be doing on its own, or is that more of a Wired West bigger picture Like we had these charts at one point that had all different numbers that we followed, and they were really good and helpful. But I think they're all askew now because the numbers of subscribers are different. So I assume the whole picture looks different. And is my question making sense?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And as people subscribe, those charts change depending on whether they subscribe to 1 gigabit, phone, no phone, 25 megabit, you know, whatever. So yes, and as we, as those, the gets drilled down and we know exactly how many customers and what they're paying, those charts are updated on a real-time basis by Wired West. And, okay. And so as we get new ones, we can certainly pass them along and share that with you.
Okay. It was really helpful, Sheila, back when we had, and it, why is his name escaping me right now, from Wired West came in and we went
Jim
through.
Braw.
Thank you. I was like, oh my Lord, I can't think of it. We had a meeting set up and we all sat down and went through that, and that it was really helpful. I think it was really eye-opening and it helped me just as a select board person remembering, you know, what it costs that we might have to deal with as we're budgeting and stuff. So it was good. It was good. So at least having the updates would be helpful, I think, at some
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. And then another thing that changes is as Wired West gets additional town members, that changes the overall revenue sharing at the end too. And that is happening as, you know, in the beginning, towns necessarily needed to manage the pile of money they got from EOHED themselves. But as we go into operations, things become more routine and they really see the benefit of having Wired West take over a lot of these routine activities for them. And so they're interested now in aligning. So that's going to change things. So,
For me, it was really helpful when I saw the updated back at the end of July, August, when we had our last meeting and the numbers were updated to act more accurately reflect where we were at, where we think we're going to be with subscribers versus what we had hoped to be way back when we were first looking at it. It made the picture a lot clearer and, you know, you could really start trying to plan and think. So that next step of what's the operations look like with these more realistic numbers would help too, I think.
Absolutely. And it gets better every day.
Yeah. That's good.
Right. We have over a 70% take rate, which is really good. And there were assumptions in the original Wired West spreadsheets about what the take rates would be and so on. And we are doing as well, if not better than that. So definitely, I think when we get that updated and get that information to you, it'll be good news.
Good. That'd be great. And that was my question just for the Municipal Light Board in general, just to kind of get a little bit more up to speed, because I felt really good after the last meeting we had as a group as to where the numbers were looking.
We can always ask Jim Draw to come back anytime that you want.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe if we see an update and then Sue, because it would be completely new for Sue, right? Because she wasn't part of that. So that'd be something to kind of give her a chance to take a look at, and then maybe we do have a meeting down the road a little bit. So those, I think, are, Brian, do you have other questions?
I don't.
History museums, that kind of thing. They can also allow students to interact and collaborate with students in other classes, in other districts, in both in the US and also abroad. So I think our teaching staff is very excited about having them. The application is due Friday, the 15th. And so what we're really asking from the Heath Board of Selectmen is to a letter of support, just supporting the grant, the Mohawk, and it's actually Town of Buckland is taking the lead on it because we need a town that's a community compact town to do it. They've agreed to do that. And so I'm just trying to trot around and see if I can gather some support from our other district towns just to, as I say, just a letter of support that we can send with the application. So I'm very I want to thank you very much for having me and considering providing this kind of support. It's very important.
Hey, thank you, Martha. Brian, do you have questions?
No, I guess we should probably vote on this tonight and film a draft the letters.
Yeah. So there was a drafted letter. I think it's in 3A of our mail.
Yeah, it's like third
page. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Sue, any questions?
No, I think that this goes right along with some of the things that were discussed at the Rural Roundtable and trying to open up more contacts with the outside world for our students. So it seems like this fits in really well with that particular goal. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Barbara, did you need to or want to add anything before we take a vote on this?
I support your letter of support for this. So
great. All right. You. Okay, I agree. So I'll take a motion to.
I move that we approve the CCC IT grant.
Letter of recommendation. Letter of recommendation.
Right, letter of recommendation. I was looking to see what I was looking to see what I was supposed to do.
Perfect.
I'm going to second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your support. Very much appreciated.
Yes. Have thank you for night. Doing everybody for doing the work. Okay. And the next item we have is a survey.
We lost her. Okay.
And who's speaking to this one? Budge, you're muted.
He's muted.
Budge, you're muted. Budge, I don't know. I need to sign
my. I need myself and stay muted as much as I can. I don't mind getting us started. Barbara.
Within the next few weeks. And then, you know, we could definitely add an additional sentence stating that Holloman and Rowe remain available to our elementary age students as choice schools currently, you know, so we could have that so nobody's panicking that they're going to get thrown out of their schools, which we're told by both schools that they're not at this point if they're already there. And then number 10 on the comment part, Budge, I was thinking the way it's currently worded, what are your thoughts on elementary schooling? I thought was a bit large for a comment box. So I would word that more like any additional comments you wish to share for us to consider, in making this decision rather than just a really broad topic of, you know, what does elementary school look like? And I'm happy to re-meet with Budge and Bob. We need your okay to send this out, but those are like, we're fine tuning the nitty gritty. And I think there's a comma somewhere. I would remove a comma and we could talk about that. And then I also wanted both of our emails included almost like the thank you for your participation. If you want to reach out to us, our mtrsd.org emails could be part of this, where we could receive a larger feedback of someone, you know, maybe someone doesn't know if they'll have a bus next year or something that they really can't fit in this form, that they would have an avenue to reach out to us. So, you know, just like tiny edits. I also didn't know on number 2, Budge, should we have a box that says other? For the what school is your child currently enrolled in? We have Buckland, Shelburne, Coleraine, Holloman, Rowe, and then other, because I think we may have some that are out. We could add an other box. And then I didn't know in between number 3 and 4, the form has a very distinct separation. So before number 4, I would give almost a categorical heading, like for the next 5 questions, please let us know how important these considerations are to your family when choosing an elementary school. And then they kind of line up where you're more important or less important, you know, those types of, so I feel like we're tweaking, but the goal is to reach all of our citizens via email and to give them a way to put in helping.
Thanks, Barbara. Bob, did you want to add to before Select Board asks questions?
No, just a couple of things, emphasizing that we did want it to go to everyone in the town. We're taking the information from parents who have students, and that will be key, but you have to listen to everyone. And so we didn't want to just send it out to parents. We want everybody in the town, every taxpayer, to have a shot at putting their opinion out there. The other thing I wanted to emphasize is Budge is absolutely right that having this tabulated by machine, as opposed to Barbara and Budge and I constantly sharpening pencils and yellow legal pads, writing down, the key here is to move as quickly as possible, because we really do have a November 1st, or I should say the first week of November, trying to make a key decision and move forward. So the quicker we get this out, the quicker it's tabulated for us and we have the info that we need, the better and easier it will be for the three of us to come to you with a decision and let folks know which way we have to go. And there is another thing that I wanted to throw out there. I think you know this, but I think it's important to state it again, that ultimately Barbara and Budge will be the ones who are going to make the decision with Mohawk about the school choice. Mm-hmm. That's what was written into the agreement. And so we have to try and help them. I certainly will try to help them, and I know you will as well, with as much information, background, everything they're going to need to make the decision they have to make.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
Brian, you have questions for one or three?
For one or three.
One or all three of them. Who do you have questions for?
I guess it's about the survey and about the question number nine. And, you know, you can make a decision based on information or just based on a hunch. And I just wondered if it made sense to do some kind of fact sheet about the schools or tell people how they could get information. Like you want to know something about the curriculum, what the travel time is, you know, their extra curricular activities at the various schools, you know, all things that might make one school more attractive to someone over another. I mean, you know, people have opinions based on what they've heard, or maybe they have experience with one school or another. But I know if you had to go out and make a decision, where are you going to send your kid? You'd probably do research. Like Cambridge, you can send your kids to any school, which we did, but each school has a different emphasis. And so you have to find out what that is and decide what's best for your children. And in this case, I wondered if maybe having something available like that before that question gets answered, or you know, at least let parents know how they can find out answers to the questions that they might have. Otherwise, we just get, you know, people's opinions. And
yeah.
Brian, what you're asking is completely valid. And when parents are school shopping through school choice, that's exactly what they're doing. We're having to make a decision that is on a much broader basis. It's a townwide decision. My only interest in question nine is just off the top of your head, what's your preference? There are many people who already have a very strongly held preference, in many cases based upon experience. But to develop the kind of fact sheet that you're looking at.
Brian was just suggesting, in the background at our study team, we are working through a checklist and of what we have been analyzing. And we have had the superintendent, the school committee chair, come join our study team. And we have been collecting data from them for current statistics of, you know, what are the class sizes at BSC and Colerain. So what we have discovered is they're incredibly similar, so what you're describing, Brian, is like a profile of the school. And that was something that we were hoping to be able to gather, but it's not completed in that process. So we need this information before that is going to be completed. But that is something that we're looking at. But our early investigation is both schools do have AM programming, like early morning programming available for families. Both schools do have after school program available for families. Both schools do have the special education on-site resources available. Both schools have similar student to teacher ratio, whereas BSE has like two classes per grade. Colerain Central has one class per grade, but they're similar numbers. So if we take this current year's numbers and add our current year's numbers in, it's like they're similar. They're very, very similar. So not one is not standing out above the other in either direction. Regarding the bus run, we received feedback that One school would be 5 to 7 minutes longer, and the other school would be 5 to 7 minutes shorter for bus runs overall on the average. But it, so they're not, we're not looking at numbers that really stand up off the chart, that this is not a consideration. They're negligible numbers. And then we are also analyzing the resident students in the town versus the student, that total number of students from Heath attending other schools. So one of the interesting points of view we're already seeing is we do know that we have a decent amount of students already at BSE. So right now we have Roe, Hallamont, BSE, and homeschool. So one interesting fact is if we do choose BSE,
And I think I understand that. And that's why I said I would support it if that's what you feel really gives you the information that is needed to make that decision or helps give you information. It won't give you all the information you need. Obviously, you guys have done your homework. You know, you've spoken to people. I agree with Brian. There's other entities that have done extensive research that probably have input to give. But if you believe that, this is my feeling alone, if you believe that this helps you or it, you know, it strengthens whatever decision, your ability to make a decision, then I support that. I just am cautious about how I do use surveys. That's all. Barbara, I know you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and thank you all for your feedback. It's really helpful. So I would like to further discuss what Sue had suggested in the first paragraph in introducing the survey, because, and coming from the direction that I actually saw the parent who sent all of us the email about, you know, wanting to belong to Roe. And I was able to have a verbal discussion with that person about, you know, these are the facts of what we're dealing with. And you know, that's a great idea, but it's not what we're dealing with right now. What we're actually dealing with is a clause in our regional agreement has an expiration of a tuition agreement and has a deadline of a choice. And we already belong to Mohawk District. And we right now have two schools to choose from out of the three. And those are the possibilities right now. And after studying extensively the Hallamont future, we have suspended that for what Sue brought up was security for our children, for their education, and fiscal sustainability. So I do feel it's not only a wonderful idea, I feel it's the idea that we should definitely pursue, is to reword the entrance, the townspeople open this email, and this is where we are, why we're on a deadline, and why we have to choose an elementary school again. Because I can hear the townspeople going, we just did this, why are we doing it again?
All right, folks, welcome. It's 6 p.m. I'm going to call to order the October 12th, 2021 virtual select board meeting for the town of Heath. Welcome, everyone. First up, identification of callers, myself, Robin Provost-Carlson. I'm here. Sue Lively.
Here.
Oh, and we are recording, FYI, sorry, recording. Brian DeVries.
Here.
We have Hilma Sumner.
I'm here.
And for guests, we have Bob Gruen.
I'm here, not recording.
Thanks, Bob. Margaret Freeman. I'm Margaret. We have the Gordon, at least one Gordon, if not both. I saw both walking by.
Gordon.
There. Hello. Ned Wolf.
Permission to record.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Crystal Smith.
I'm here.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
And Pam Porter.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. So that's all we have for right now. Next on the agenda is the review of the agenda. We have appointments to add roughly at about 6:45. It looks like we have the Heath Regionalization Group, and also Martha Thurber is going to be joining in somewhere around that same time. So I'm going to watch my clock, but give me a holler out if I be missing that time, but I'll be watching. That's what I have for agenda review. Sue, do you have anything for the agenda?
Nope.
Brian?
I have nothing.
Hilma?
Nope, nothing else.
All right, great.
Next item is review of the minutes. So we are looking at the virtual minutes, the Select Board Town of Heath meeting for September 28th, 2021. Sue?
Just a couple things, actually. On the bottom of the first page, under in the second paragraph of the axon, I felt like we needed a little bit more detail in there. You had written in that he said 5 to 30 employees, and he corrected himself that during that meeting and said probably more like 10 to 15, and that there would be some benefits, although not the same as full-time employees because they were seasonal. He said truck traffic would be minimal. They didn't really share any major concerns about the road. And they did say that there'd be an 8-foot fence around everything.
I think he did say there'd be an uptick during the harvest, right?
Mm-hmm. He did originally, yes. But when I questioned him on it this past time, I said, you know, they were talking about the possibility of up to 30 jobs. And then he said that after being there and seeing it, he thought it would be more like 10 to 15. So,
okay. All right.
And in the first paragraph under office relocation, you have Tim listed as the emergency medical director.
Oh, yep. Management. Thank you.
And on page 3 under the Hilltown Theater, in the last sentence, town council's opinion will be sought as to whether the board can discuss and decide on the final terms of the lease before final discussion with Jonathan. I think maybe you meant to put in there whether it had to be done in executive session or it just didn't quite make sense to me.
Yes, after lease, I think in executive session.
And that's all I had.
Okay, great. Brian, did you have anything in the minutes?
I have on the second page, under office relocation, the second paragraph, that the board agreed that both the cost and viability of repairing and or replacing the office area will need to be analyzed. And then it says a structural engineer may need to be called in to assess the fire station wall, because it's the wall in the fire station that's the issue and not the condition of the wood structure, because it's an unreinforced concrete block wall.
Okay.
And I think there's some cracking that was a concern. Right, you got that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and then on the bottom of the page under Board of Health members, where it says, although it had been requested by the Board of Health to have a third candidate appointed as an ex officio member, the Select Board wants to clarify if an ex officio member can be appointed. Well, ex officio is not the proper term to use for that. It would be an associate member.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay. I had questions in kind of the same area, so we've caught all of my items as well. So if there isn't anything further, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes of September 28, 2021 as amended.
So move.
I second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Let's see, we have a 6:15 appointment with the Municipal Light Board. We're a little early for that. So I'll open up and see if anybody has public comments. I know we have that on the schedule as well. So is there anyone here who'd like to speak during public comment?
I will, I may.
Oh, sure, go ahead, Margaret.
It's actually followed by...
Okay. I don't know if we can answer, but okay.
Okay, all right. Here it goes. Right now, there are several of it reliable. And so I have going and I'm wondering. There are open hour walk-in. I've been through that. But for example, I have, and I'm just wondering, what are the, if I want to go to my, that's my.
I'm going to take a stab at an answer for you. From what I understand, technically the hub hours have come to a close, I believe. And I believe that if you need access, because there are still people who do not have services, we're going to learn a little bit more later from Municipal Light Board. We'll hear about the scheduling a little bit more, talk about it. I believe that you can contact Hilma, maybe. Is that right, Hilma? So, and make arrangements.
Yes.
And Hilma will work that out with Tim.
What is it? I don't. So, okay. So But then how do I know that I can go to, and where do I go? Can I to certain?
Yeah, I don't think we have, we don't have a follow-up after we close the hub officially, do we?
Come on, and I'm thinking, it's just talking about my own, it's about other people.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that. The select board will have to talk about that, because I think at this point there aren't set hours. So we'll have to, as a group, talk about that.
I wanted to make that statement. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Other, Sheila.
It's a similar question. I wondered what was the story about the access at from the town hall too. I'm hearing from people that they're not able to connect the same way they used to be.
Okay. So we'll have to discuss that select board and come up with a policy and get it back out since we've had changes.
Robin?
Was that you, Hilma? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. There are signs posted on the buildings with the new hotspot connections, Wi-Fi connections that can be accessed from the parking areas in front of town hall and community hall. Basically, it's two open Wi-Fi connections. One is Heath Guest, the other is Heath Library. Does not require a password. It does require agreeing to the terms of use. That is the first screen that somebody comes to.
If I may, that's fine for a normal, and you're on as you've got to be allowed.
I'm not addressing that, Margaret.
Oh, okay.
I'm not addressing that at all. I'm just addressing Sheila's question.
Okay.
To access internet at town hall.
I see.
Yeah, different.
Thanks, Hilma. Can we make sure we get that on the website as well? If it is not, it may be, and I just don't know that. So so this is still, I just want to make sure everybody knows this is public comment. So, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Just a logistical thing. We wondered if we could record, and I think you have to give us permission to do that.
The host.
Yeah.
Is it working now? I pushed it before, but check now.
No.
It's now if I push it again, it's going to remove permission to record.
No worky.
Oh, well, don't worry about it.
Let's try it again. Third time might be a charm.
Ready?
I've done it.
No.
Still says, please ask the host to give you permission to record.
That's okay.
Can Robin, you try
it? Robin, is the select board recording?
Yeah, it's being being recorded. Yes.
Okay, so we'll leave that.
Yep, it is being recorded. Anybody else for public comment? Okay, thank you. So it's 6:13. Anything quick, Hilma, that you want to share?
Well, I guess that I, 2 weeks ago, well, after the meeting, I sent follow-up emails to Exxon with some questions and some information from our town council. I had not heard anything back. I sent a follow-up email earlier today and still have not heard back. So there's really nothing new with that.
Okay. All right. So I think we're pretty close to 6:15. Let's go ahead. Let's see. Who do we have here? Do you guys have a, I see you, Sheila, and we have Art and Ned. So do you guys have to, are you posted for today?
No. So the plan is, okay. I would give you a, between David and myself, we'll try to answer all your questions.
Okay. All right. So who would like to begin? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we've got some really good news in that the fiber service area 3 has just begun to be opened up for, and people are starting to get appointments to get installed. This is huge. This is one we've been waiting for forever, as you in FSA 3 have been waiting. So we know of several people that are going to get installed. We're hoping that it will be a good rate of installations. We're at least 3 a day is what we're pushing for, if not more. And so this will be really a really beneficial thing for people in that area. And then following that, the FSA 4, which is Mohawk Estates, will sometime around the week of Thanksgiving, they should be starting to get installed. And Jenny Hamilton has told us that many of the residents in that area can are willing to come back. They don't live too far away. And so that as their appointments come up, we hope to get as many of them installed as long as the roads are still passable in Mohawk States. And we keep pushing to make sure that those that are doing the installations understand that once there's snow on those roads, they're not maintained. So they know it, but we, you know, we just keep pushing to try to make sure it happens as soon as possible. So right now we have 170 homes that have service. There are about 236 yet to be installed. And we should see that 170 really climb quickly over the next month or two, we hope. Okay. So that's really good news. Another quick update is that Bill Ennen gave Hilma and I the really good news that we no longer have to do quarterly reports. We just submitted our last one, which is amazing to think of something coming off the plate. You know, it kind of shows us that there is progress being made. Something can go away. So that's one thing that can go away. That's very good. Very, very good news. So that's my quick update on where we stand with the network build. And I wanted to turn it over to David, and then I'll talk about something else. So
thank you.
Any questions for Sheila before I jump in? Okay, well, Sheila and I are going to tag team a little bit on these items that we would like you to, you know, bring to you tonight. I apologize for sending the information to you so late in a three-day weekend, but I hope you had a chance to at least glance over it. We have four items tonight that we want to talk about. One is really critical that we would like you to act on tonight, and that is the item number one, which is the capital item purchase of the HUT security monitoring system, includes purchase of equipment and installation. It's $13,378.33. We feel this is a critical item to have to protect our assets. We have over $100,000 or close to $100,000 worth of electronics in that HUT, and people in the town are depending on it, some already, and pretty soon a large number for phone service as well as internet communications. So this monitors will allow us to monitor environmental conditions, you know, temperature, which can damage electronics if the air conditioning stops working, as well as physical security. There will be two cameras, one internal, one external, and recording of those cameras. And I think very importantly, there will be a new access system, a key fob access system, so we know exactly who is going in and out of that HUT and when. So this is just basic internet security, operational security. We had three different proposals that Westfield Gas and Electric put on RFQ for, and this is both in terms of the cost and the the capability of the company, we feel very confident is the one to go with the Cibula proposal. So because it is a capital purchase, we're covering it under the initial build cost, which, as you know, I described in August, we're in good shape on that in terms of being well under budget for the original estimates of building out the network. So we feel that this is an appropriate use to be able to purchase this and have that protect our assets. So any questions on that? Because we would really like you to take a vote on that and approve that tonight so that we can have you sign that and get that forward. I also wanted to mention that with the, there's an urgency just to get that in place, A, and also because of the supply chain issues with electronics and other goods, as I'm sure you're all well aware of, we want to get moving on it as quickly as possible. So any questions about that?
Thanks, David. Brian, do you have questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if the municipal light board reviewed this and they voted to approve, because I'm not sure what the procedures are for something like this. And
yes. I'm sorry, we and I mentioned that, but the MLB voted to recommend that the select board recommend to the select board that they enter into this contract.
Okay, thank you.
Sue, do you have questions? Oh, sorry. Hold on, Sue. Sheila?
just one little add-on that all of the Wired West towns also agreed to go with the Cibula contract so that the money is considers the fact that there were lots of towns that were interested in going with this particular contract. So we independently reviewed it, and all the towns in Wired West reviewed them together, and everybody's going with this particular one.
And I might also add, because this is part of the improvement and capital purchase of the broadband system, these are eligible for ARPA funding to cover the cost. Just, you know, one more place or option for you in terms of using that money. But we, you know, it can also, if we can go with it now, and then that can be reimbursed later on, because we're really anxious to get moving on.
Okay.
All right. In terms of approving this, should we go through the other quotes and then just vote on the whole thing? Because I see a service contract.
Well, this is the only one that we're asking the select board to approve. The other quotes are for operational costs.
Okay.
That will come out of operational revenue, and we will be able to pay for that. So we thought it would be appropriate for the MLB and the MLP to sign off on the operational contracts, the ongoing annual contracts, and we'll just cover those with our operational revenue.
Okay.
Sue, do you have questions?
I just have one, which is a curiosity factor. Does the HUT currently have any security measures built into it?
It has locks. It has an electronic keypad. And the problem with that is we change the code regularly, but we also give that code to the contractors, because they need to be in and out of it, Tri-Wire and Westfield Gas and Electric. So it's not an ideal way to manage access to a building. We also have put in a temporary remote temperature monitor, just because, you know, through the summer, we just wanted to make sure that if something happened to the air conditioner, we would know about it as soon as possible, so that we could address it, because that's really bad for us. And I guess the other thing, we do have some remote monitoring of the generator. So we, Sheila and I both receive alerts, and it does its weekly check. And so the HUT came with a lot of sensors, smoke detector and so on, but they're not hooked up to be remotely monitored. What this will do is will allow us to have a company 24/7 monitor all of those crucial parameters.
Okay, so there is some minimal security there.
Minimal.
While we wait for for the more elaborate setup to be put in place.
Right. And what we need to do we'll come back to you once we understand more about who gets called from a company perspective when an alarm goes off. We might need to decide who in Heath has to respond for certain of these alarms. So that is a conversation we expect to probably have with you in the near future when we learn more ourselves.
Okay.
I'm also following up on that, Sheila, I remember having a meeting that a small group of us were involved in with Jeff and Tim, that whole conversation, kind of along that whole who takes care of what. And is that going to continue? You're talking about that information, those meeting type of things?
That's exactly what we need to discuss. You know, once we know what the alarms are going to, where they're going to alarm, we'll have to just work that out. I mean, where is it appropriate for someone to respond? I mean, obviously, if it's a fire-related issue, the fire department's going to need to be connected in somehow. But there's one of them is like a water intrusion. There's the temperature one that David mentioned. And so we probably want to have some system where somebody locally checks it out to see if it's real first before we start calling in, you know, somebody else. But to be determined. I mean, that is a future conversation that we will have with you.
Right. Okay. All right.
But in the meantime, Tim is still, you know, doing what he was doing, and Jeff is doing the outside clearing, whatever. That continues.
Okay. All right. So that conversation will also circle back to the actually who has those key fobs as when they show up, like who actually is going to be responsible for those. We should obviously have a sign out of some type, responsibility list, because those have a value to them as well. Yeah, okay. Okay, other questions in regards to this request for the select board to approve this proposal? Brian, anything else on this?
Nope.
Sue, anything else?
No.
Okay, so can I have a motion then, please?
I move that we approve the Cibula, is that how you say it? proposal for the purchase and installation of hot monitoring equipment for the total of $13,378.33.
I second that.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. The next item is related to that, and it's just really for your information. I already alluded to it with Brian's question, but we also have two quotes for annual contracts with Cibola. It wouldn't have had to have been with them, but they came in with, again, with the best prices and the best reputation as far as doing this. And one of them is just for an annual check of the monitoring system. It's great to have a monitoring system. We hope it never goes off, but we need to check it periodically to make sure it would go off. We needed it. So that is basically the, I think it was, they're going to check the water sensor and the smoke detector and so on, clean the cameras, and it's $400 a year. So as I said, we as a board voted that when you approve the actual installation, which you just did, then we will go ahead and enter into that agreement with Cibola as an annual contract, and that will come out of operating revenue. Mm-hmm. And the second one is the actual 24/7 monitoring of the alert. And this is again through Cibola, although they then subcontract that out, which is what everybody does to a major firm that has the operations, 24-hour operations to monitor these alarms. And that is $220 a year in order to have that monitoring happen. And as Sheila mentioned, once we enter into that, we will hear back from them. You know, who do we need to, we'll need to let give them contact information or establish a protocol for when an alarm goes off as to who is contacted. And so that'll be coming up down the line. Okay. Again, that'll come out of operating revenue, and we're just bringing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions on that piece, Brian?
No, I have none.
Sue?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So the third item on the list we wanted to talk about was about generator preventive maintenance. So again, just late this afternoon, we finally got the proposal from Kinsley, and I have forwarded it to the select board. It may not have reached you in time for your packet tonight. There's no action required on your part tonight. So it's really more for information for you and for your consideration. Basically, in a nutshell, what it is that Kinsley is the local, the area Kohler representative, and highly recommended. Their proposal costs $804, and they would come twice a year to do a significant long series of checks on the generator, provide a report back for that. And so I've sent you that entire proposal for your thoughts. You can think about whether or not it might be of interest to you to ask Kinsley to come and look and put a proposal in for the town for all the town generators, including the hut generator. If that happened in the future, of course, the hut generator piece, we'd have to have them bill that separately because that will be paid for by broadband revenue. But it might be something that the select board might want to look into to have to be sure you're getting the right kind of maintenance, preventive maintenance on your generators. And you've got quite a few of them now at this point. So it's just really food for thought for you. And again, the cost of the two preventive maintenance inspections they've already done on the hut generator, that will come out of the existing broadband borrowing. And then any future costs will be part of our operations revenues. So in fact, we usually recommend that all of those invoices would end up going to Wired West and basically just come right out of, come right off the top of our revenue that we make from the customers. So anyway, that's just really just for food for your thoughts.
Thank you. Are there other items that either one of you wanted to update us on, or are you ready for any questions?
Well, we have one more item that we wanted to talk about. And just before we go on, I'm just, never mind. I was going to say at some point we'll need to decide whether the MLP should enter into the Kinsley contract by itself just for that generator, or whether the town would like to do a combined one, but that can happen sometime in the next couple of months.
Okay, I'm familiar with Kinsley as well, and I think it would be a good idea to reach out and for the town just to reach out as a total package. It's always good to have those numbers.
Right. So the last item is just an update. When I spoke back in August and we talked about cash flow, I mentioned at that point this redundancy project that we were entering into phase one with Westfield Gas and Electric. And just for brief background, as you recall, back in March, there was a cut to the backhaul, the main MBI fiber that services the Western Mass towns, and caused an outage for several towns for many hours or a day or two. I don't remember how long. But at this point, that becomes quite critical to us because we're relying on that service for internet service and phone service. So the Western Mass towns entered into an agreement. The Hill towns entered into an agreement with Westfield Gas and Electric to design a redundant backhaul system that did not have a single point of failure, a single fiber that could be cut and cause us to have an outage lasting a number of hours. So we are in phase one of that, which is the design phase. We are entering in meetings with our neighboring towns that are forming what they call the North Geo Cluster. These are towns that have interconnectivity with their fiber or will have interconnectivity so that we can provide diverse paths to the internet should there be a problem within a particular town. Those towns include Heath, Rowe, Charlemont, Leiden, and Coleraine. We have, as part of this phase one, a preliminary estimate for the cost of phase two, which is the build of that redundancy, that building in the redundancy for those towns. It has come in at around $20,000, which is about what I had guessed at back in August. But there's more work to be done in planning. We haven't decided on a final design. To be honest, I think it's going to be more than that because I think that there will be some, I think that what they came back with their first designs falls short in a couple of areas, but it'll take a couple of weeks for us to come up with a final cost for that. Again, once we decide to go ahead with this, this will be a capital cost. It's improving our municipal light plant, our fiber plant. It will be eligible for ARPA funding, but we also, it will fall well within our initial budget for the build of the fiber system here in Heath. So we will be able to have the kind of redundancy that is really critical to providing, reliable services to our customers. So tonight I'm just bringing this as an update of progress on that particular project.
And just a quick add-on to that, one of the things that we're looking at is making sure that we're not totally reliant on just MBI. We're really interested in other sources for internet provider so that if something really dramatic happens at the MBI line or their prices change or whatever, we can go elsewhere. For example, Berkshire East has a Verizon internet connection that they really like. And there's another connection through Crown Castle that we're exploring. So we're just really looking at something that would be significantly more reliable, over the long haul.
Yeah, thank you, Sheila. That's really important because the other thing, it does give us flexibility as to who our provider is. And we've gotten some preliminary estimates for Crown Castle and Verizon as well, that our monthly cost of providing internet service, which is $1,200 a month, we could be saving several thousand dollars a year by having an alternative provider for. And as Sheila said, we'll have two providers. So if one has problems further up the line, we'll be able to fail over to the second. So that's a big advantage of this particular design.
Questions, Brian?
Yeah. We have a contract with Westfield Gas and Electric and MBI, and if we had to use one of these other sources, would that be some kind of additional cost, or how does that work? I'm not saying it's not a good idea, but does that add to the cost of it besides the initial design and construction?
There will be a second, if we go with a second provider, even if we go with a second circuit with MBI, there will be an additional monthly cost for that bandwidth. And in fact, our short-term improvement that we've entered into with MBI, we are actually paying for half of a second circuit now with MBI. So you're right. The advantage of this is that because all the towns will be connected, we will be able to share that bandwidth with the other towns. Right now, every town enters into their own contract with MBI. And so potentially by having this interconnectivity with the town, we will be able to buy bandwidth at a higher level, which gives us our costs, and we will share that with the towns. But the short answer to your question is yes. We will be having a second circuit at least, and two circuits will cost us more than one circuit, but in the long run, it may cost less single circuit now. It's all to be done.
We're not, but there won't be an additional cost to the customer, Brian, if that was part of your question. These are just monthly charges for our operations.
I understand that part of it. It just was, will the town incur additional expenses, or will the MLB incur these additional expenses?
It falls within the existing budget that we have.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think that's the critical piece at the moment. And we're looking, for example, when David said we can share, Heath already has an active working internet connect with Roe. We're already talking with Roe about sharing this temporary backup redundancy, because what we mainly would want to be sure we have, if the line goes down, we want to be sure people can still make E911 calls. Right. And so we don't need, a full gigabits for that. So
no, we had that problem maybe 10 to 15 years ago when the line got cut down and at the Rotary in Greenfield, and we were without 911 service until they could repair the line.
Yeah.
State police brought us radios,
So and the additional cost would be, again, an operational cost, not a capital.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Question, Sue?
Nope.
I have a couple questions not about backhaul. So I didn't know if you had other items you wanted to move on to first, or are we good on backhaul? Okay. I just have two questions, and I alluded to it. I sent a note earlier to David. Is it possible within the next month or so to get an updated Heath broadband financing chart that you guys did? Can that be updated? Because that is really easy. I think it's really good for us to see those numbers. So that's one piece. And then my other piece is, and maybe I'm not correct with this, but I'm gonna ask it because that's what I do. So we've changed in the most recent financing charts that we're looking at, we've changed the number of drops, right? We came down from the number we had back, say, in January, and that's the numbers we're using. My question is a step further. That number of drops, is there a new operations update, like what the proposed incomes might be since the number of subscribers may be different now than when it was looked at, say, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago? And is that update something that the Municipal Light Board would be doing on its own, or is that more of a Wired West bigger picture? Like, we had these charts at one point that had all different numbers that we followed, and they were really good and helpful. But I think they're all askew now because the numbers of subscribers are different. So I assume the whole picture looks different. And is my question making sense?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And as people subscribe, those charge chains, depending on whether they subscribe to 1 gigabit, phone, no phone, 25, yeah, whatever. So yes, and as we as those that gets really gets drilled down, and we know exactly how many customers and what they're paying. Those charts are updated on a real time basis by Wired West, and so as we get new ones, we can certainly pass them along and share that with you.
Okay, it was really helpful, Sheila, back when we had why is his name escaping me right now from Wired West came in and we went through. We had a meeting set up and we all sat down and went through that, and that it was really helpful. I think it was really eye-opening, and it helped me just as a select board person remembering, you know, what it costs that we might have to deal with as we're budgeting and stuff. So it was good. It was good. So at least having the updates would be helpful, I think, at some
point. And then another thing that changes is as Wired West gets additional town members, that changes the overall revenue sharing at the end too. And that is happening as, you know, in the beginning, towns necessarily needed to manage the pile of money they got from EOHED themselves. But as we go into operations, things become more routine, and they really see the benefit of having Wired West take over a lot of these routine activities for them. And so they're interested now in aligning. So that's going to change things. So,
For me, it was really helpful when I saw the updated back at the end of July, August, when we had our last meeting, and the numbers were updated to more accurately reflect where we were at, where we think we're going to be with subscribers versus what we had hoped to be way back when we were first looking at it. It made the picture a lot clearer, and you know, you could really start trying to plan and think. So that next step of what's the operations look like with these more realistic numbers would help too, I think.
Absolutely. And it gets better every day.
Yeah. That's good.
Right. We have over a 70% take rate, which is really good. And there were assumptions in the original Wired West spreadsheets about what the take rates would be and so on. And we are doing as well, if not better than that. So definitely, I think when we get that updated and get that information to you, it'll be good news.
Good. That'd be great. And that was my question just for the municipal light board in general, just to kind of get a little bit more up to speed, because I felt really good after the last meeting we had as a group as to where the numbers were looking.
We can always ask Jim Draw to come back anytime that you want.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe if we see an update and then Sue, because it would be completely new for Sue, right? Because she wasn't part of that. So that'd be something to kind of give her a chance to take a look at, and then maybe we do have a meeting down the road a little bit. Brian, do you have other questions?
I don't.
Sue. So, and I think that was it. However, I'm going to just take 1 second to read through a note, make sure. Yeah, I think I've got all my answers too. I appreciate it. Does anybody else have anything you want to share before we move on to our next group of visitors?
This is Art.
Yeah,
I think I can add one little bit of information that might be useful for that topic you were talking about, Robin.
Okay.
Is that I'm in conversation right now with Tom Lively, the chair of the Finance Committee, and we are talking about having a joint meeting fairly soon about just the things you're asking questions about. And for that meeting, we'll probably have an updated finance report at that point, and we'll share it with you as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
Very helpful. All right, Municipal Light Board, Plant Manager, thank you. I don't know if everybody's leaving or hanging around.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, next is our group that we're sneaking in. What is it, 6:45? Oh, it's past that. So, okay. So now we're going to school. We're going from Municipal Light Board to school. And I see we have Barbara and we have Budge and Martha's here. Hi, Martha. So I think we have a couple items we're talking about. Who's the lead on this conversation?
Barbara, I wouldn't mind starting us off just by saying there are basically two things that we'd like to present to the select board. First is the primary reason that Martha's here, and that is a request for the town of Heath to support a grant proposal that's being developed by the district's IT team. That would provide IT infrastructure in classrooms for kids. And it's a fine idea to do because it comes from a grant. It doesn't come out of the operating budget. So kind of a good thing to do. And just like with the 191 grant, Buckland, which is part of the reason Martha is here, is willing to take the lead on supporting this, but having other towns in the district support is a critical thing for the folks providing the grant funding to see. So that's my quick update. And the second piece is we'd like to talk with you about the a survey from the transition from the regionalization study team. Mm-hmm. But Martha, is there anything you want to add about that that grant proposal?
Yeah, thanks, Budge. This is a Community Compact IT grant. It's part of the Community Compact group of grants that they do. It's a competitive grant that's focused on innovation and transformation via investing in technology. They're offering grants of up to $200,000 to support the implementation of innovative IT projects, especially one-time capital needs for infrastructure and equipment. So Mohawk Trail and the town of Buckland are submitting a proposal for a grant of $120,000 to $150,000 to purchase interactive display touchscreens to be installed in every Mohawk District School classroom. These are basically large TV screens, but they're interactive. You know, you can touch them like an iPad. They can be used for regular classrooms presentations, but they can also be used for directly connecting students to internet-based education resources, like source documents for history classes or, you know, virtual visits to art and natural history museums, that kind of thing. They can also allow students to interact and collaborate with students in other classes, in other districts, in both in the U.S. and also abroad. So I think our teaching staff is very excited about having them. The application is due Friday, the 15th. And so what we're really asking from the Heath Board of Selectmen is to a letter of support, just supporting the grant, and it's actually Town of Buckland is taking the lead on it because we need a town that's a community compact town to do it. They've agreed to do that. And so I'm just trying to trot around and see if I can gather some support from our other district towns just to, as I say, just a letter of support that we can send with the application. So I'm very, I want to thank you very much for having me and considering providing this kind of support. It's very important.
Okay, thank you, Martha. Brian, do you have questions?
No, I guess we just, we should probably vote on this tonight and Thelma draft the letters.
Yep. So there was a drafted letter. I think it's in 3A of our mail.
Yeah, it's like
third page. I got that. Sue, any questions?
No, I think that this goes right along with some of the things that were discussed at the Rural Roundtable and trying to open up more contacts with the outside world for our students. So it seems like this fits in really well with that particular goal. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Barbara, did you need to or want to add anything before we take a vote on this piece?
I support your letter of support for this. So
great. All right. You. Okay. I agree. So I'll take a motion to.
I move that we approve the CCC IT grant.
Letter of recommendation. Letter of recommendation.
Right, letter of recommendation. I was looking to see what I was supposed to do.
Perfect.
I'm going to second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your support. I very much appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for everybody for doing the work. Okay. And the next item we have is a survey.
We lost her. Okay.
And who's speaking to this one? Budge, you're muted.
Muted.
Budge, you're muted. Budge, I don't know. I need sign language.
I can leave myself and stay muted as much as I can. I don't mind getting us started. Barbara, Bob, and I have been working hard on this, getting this survey pulled together. I believe you have a copy of the content in an email sent to you today. I have 3 points I'd like to make about the survey, and then we can open it up for conversation and discussion. But tour editing. There's a link that I refer to in the introduction, which is the link to the update that this regionalization study team has posted on town website. And for some reason, in the Google Forms form that I was working on, it wouldn't copy in as a link, as an active hyperlink. I'd like to find out how to make that work. Just, that's an editing question. Question number 9 is a very open-ended question. It asks, which of those 4 schools, hypothetically, would you prefer? That's a difficult question in a number of ways. Bob and I talked about this a little bit earlier this afternoon, and I think what I would do is, in the parentheses, just reiterate that something to the effect of, to do the wordsmithing, but something to the effect of, remember, formal partnership would not be available for some of these choices next year or even possibly the year after. Choice is always available. I think it's trying to work with and reassure parents that they have choices. There is a significant decision and potential change going on here. But I think that it would be absolutely fascinating to see where the majority of people in Heath, what school they identified as their hypothetical preference. I don't. That's the other editing issue. Then I need to understand where the tabulation and calculation of results of the survey lands, how they're receivable. This is being done through Google Forms and through a Mohawk Trail Regional School District Google account. So I just need to go do the back work on that, make sure that the three of us are going to have access to what that tabulation is and be able to get that access fast, get the tabulations of results and work with it, because that's what we need to do over the next few weeks. So those are the 3 things that I wanted to bring up. I'll be quiet for a bit.
I have
Barbara. Barbara, you want to listen to Barbara first, Brian, or you want to ask your question?
No, go ahead. I always like listening to Barbara.
Okay.
Gee, thanks. No pressure. Okay. So I apologize that we're doing editing on the fly in your live meeting, but Budge, Bob, and I met last Thursday, and that was when we actually found out and really discussed that the survey going through the central office and through the principals was impossible to do without the okay of the both school committees. So that's why we're coming here for the townwide survey. So it's kind of coming together quickly, even though we've been discussing this forever. And there are a few edits that I was trying to reach Budge earlier today, and then I got really busy at work, so we didn't connect officially. So Budge pointing out that link, that was one, that the hyperlink is not there. So we do have a little bit of housekeeping to do on the survey before we release it. I definitely had a question and an uncomfortable feeling with 9 the way it's written. And I had a suggestion of how I would approach 9, but Budge, in hearing what you just stated, that you'd love to see how the townspeople would answer, that would be a fascinating find. I'm leery about I would take Hallamont and Rowe completely off of this number 9 because they're not on the table right now. So I would word number 9 in almost like in a summary of which of these elementary schools would your family choose for Heath Elementary students going forward. You know, select one, please, and leave it to the Buckland Children and the Colerain, which is what we have to decide within the next few weeks. And then, you know, we could definitely add an additional sentence stating that Hallamont and Rowe remain available to our elementary age students as choice schools currently, you know, so we could have that so nobody's panicking that they're going to get thrown out of their schools, which we're told by both schools that they're not at this point if they're already there. And then number 10 on the comment part, Budge, I was thinking the way it's currently worded, what are your thoughts on elementary schooling, I thought was a bit large for a comment box. So I would word that more like any additional comments you wish to share for us to consider, you know, in making this decision rather than just a really broad topic of, you know, what does elementary school look like? And I'm happy to re-meet with Budge and Bob we need your okay to send this out, but those are like, the, we're fine tuning the nitty gritty. And I think there's a comma somewhere. I would remove a comma and we could talk about that. And then I also wanted both of our emails included almost like the thank you for your participation. If you want to reach out to us, our mtrsd.org emails could be part of this, where we could receive a larger feedback of someone, you know, maybe someone doesn't know if they'll have a bus next year or something that they really can't fit in this form, that they would have an avenue to reach out to us. You know, just like tiny edits. I also didn't know on number two, Budge, should we have a box that says other for the what school is your child currently enrolled in? We have Buckland, Shelburne, Coleraine, Hollowmont, Rowe, and then other, because I think we may have some that are out. We could add an other box. And then I didn't know in between number three and four, the form has a very distinct separation. So before number four, I would give almost a categorical heading, like for the next five questions, please let us know how important the considerations are to your family when choosing an elementary school. And then they kind of line up where you're more important or less important, you know, those types of, so I feel like we're tweaking, but the goal is to reach all of our citizens via email and to give them a way to in helping.
Thanks, Barbara. Bob, did you want to add to before Select Board asks questions?
No, just a couple of things, emphasizing that we did want it to go to everyone in the town. We're taking the information from parents who have students, and that will be key, but you have to listen to everyone. And so we didn't want to just send it out to parents. We want everybody in the town, every taxpayer, to have a shot at putting their opinion out there. The other thing I wanted to emphasize is Budge is absolutely right that having this tabulated by machine, as opposed to Barbara and Budge and I constantly sharpening pencils and yellow legal pads, writing down, the key here is to move as quickly as possible, because we really do have a November 1st, or I should say the first week of November, trying to make a key decision and move forward. So the quicker we get this out, the quicker it's tabulated for us and we have the info that we need, the better and easier it will be for the three of us to come to you with a decision and let folks know which way we have to go. And there is another thing that I wanted to throw out there. I think you know this, but I think it's important to state it again, that ultimately Barbara and Budge will be the ones who are going to make the decision with Mohawk about the school choice. That's what was written into the agreement. And so we have to try and help them. I certainly will try to help them, and I know you will as well, with as much information, background, everything they're going to need to make the decision they have to make.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
Brian, you have questions for one or three?
For one or three.
One or all three of them. Who do you have questions for?
I guess it's about the survey and about the question number nine. And, you know, you can make a decision based on information or just based on a hunch. And I just wondered if it made sense to do some kind of fact sheet about the schools or tell people how they could get information. Like you want to know something about the curriculum, what the travel time is, you know, their extra curricular activities at the various schools, you know, all things that might make one school more attractive to someone over another. I mean, you know, people have opinions based on what they've heard, or maybe they have experience with one school or another. But I know if you had to go out and make a decision, where are you going to send your kid? You'd probably do research. Like Cambridge, you can send your kids to any school. Which we did, but each school has a different emphasis. And so you have to find out what that is and decide what's best for your children. And in this case, I wondered if maybe having something available like that before that question gets answered, or you know, at least let parents know how they can find out answers to the questions that they might have. Otherwise, we just get, you know, people's opinions. And
yeah.
Brian, what you're asking is completely valid. And when parents are school shopping through school choice, that's exactly what they're doing. We're having to make a decision that is on a much broader basis. It's a townwide decision. My only interest in question nine is just off the top of your head, what's your preference? There are many people who already have a very strongly held preference, in many cases based upon experience. But to develop the kind of fact sheet that you're looking at, we're talking weeks of time, to develop that and share it. And then I have to wonder how many of the people who are actually going to receive the email are actually going to read all of them. Valid question, important points, practicality. We have a logistical issue we're dealing with here. Let's move forward. If we simply need to remove the ninth question, we can. In terms of the concern with why include Haldimont or Roe, because we've already had communications from parents whose children are going to school there saying that that's pretty important to them. I'd like to give families an opportunity to just say, this is what I think.
Barbara?
Thanks. Budge, and that makes sense. I'm happy for us to keep those in there to get that feedback, because the feedback may not be easy for us to process. This whole process is difficult, as we've already had feedback that someone would like to see Roe, and as everyone knows, you know, the town of Roe is not in discussion with the town of Heath currently, and it wouldn't be future. But right now we're dealing with this expiration and a deadline. To speak to what Brian was just suggesting, in the background at our study team, we are working through a checklist and of what we have been analyzing. We have had the superintendent, the school committee chair, come join our study team, and we have been collecting data from them for current statistics of, you know, what are the class sizes at BSC and Colerain. So what we have discovered is they're incredibly similar. So what you're describing, Brian, is like a profile of the school. And that was something that we were hoping to be able to gather, but it's not completed in that process. So we need this information before that is going to be completed. But that is something that we're looking at. But our early investigation is both schools do have AM programming, like early morning programming available for families. Both schools do have after school program available for families. Both schools do have the special education on-site resources available. Both schools have similar student to teacher ratio, whereas BSE has like two classes per grade. Colerain Central has one class per grade, but they're similar numbers. So if we take this current year's numbers and add our current year's numbers in, it's like they're similar. They're very, very similar. So one is not standing out above the other in either direction. Regarding the bus run, we received feedback that one school would be 5 to 7 minutes longer and the other school would be 5 to 7 minutes shorter for bus runs overall on the average. We're not looking at numbers that really stand up off the chart, that this is not a consideration. They're negligible numbers. And then we are also analyzing the resident students in the town versus the students total number of students from Heath attending other schools. So one of the interesting points of view we're already seeing is we do know that we have a decent amount of students already at BSC. So right now we have Roe, Haldimont, BSC, and homeschool. So one interesting fact is if we do choose BSC, whatever students would be going into BSE, there's already a small core group of heaps already there that get there without a bus, that don't, you know, have a bus, that could have a bus. I'm happy to email this spreadsheet to the Board of Selectmen So select board, so you guys can kind of look at what we are looking at and what's filled in so far, what's not filled in so far, because I would welcome your feedback if you feel that we're missing anything in a field of study.
Thanks, Barbara. Brian, did you have any, did you want to come back with any other question or comment based on that?
I guess the only thing that well, it's not that big of a concern, but I think that there are people that are going to know a lot more about what makes sense for the town of Heath who have studied it, who've been working on it for years, who could make a recommendation, in my opinion, that would carry more weight than the town, you know, the general population's opinion about something that I guess I don't want to, I don't feel that it's your intention that this is a majority vote, that you're just going to go up, that you want to get information, but you're going to have to not want to disappoint people either, that their, you know, their choices are not being taken seriously, you know, that you're going to have to present a counter argument saying we have studied this and we feel this makes the most sense for the town of Heath.
I agree. Well, go ahead, Budge, and then I'll let Sue comment, and then myself also.
I very much agree with you, Brian. And given that fact that a decision is going to be made by people who have been buried in this for a long, long time, I think that the general population would like to know that at least they got to make their statement. They got to say, this is what I would prefer. And it was considered in the decision-making process. This is not a beauty contest. We're not doing it that way. But I think people want to be able to have a voice.
Sue, do you have any questions, thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. First, I really understand the time crunch that you're under, which I think is very unfortunate, because I think that this survey could be improved upon quite a bit if you had more time to really think about it and work on it. It's unfortunate that the schedule is so tight. So, but given that, number one, Brian's thing about a school profile, maybe you can make a short blip available online where you have this other link that gives a little bit of a profile about each school. But I think, and I'm thinking a little bit about this letter that we got from a parent who supports going to Roe and feels like their opinion didn't get considered last time. There's clearly some misunderstandings in that. And so I hate to see this survey create another layer of misunderstanding. So one thing I think it would be important to put in there is that the two priorities from a school committee perspective and a town perspective is that we must have security for the education of our children. We have to have a secure place for them. We can't just be bouncing around from one place to another. And it has to be affordable. So Roe is not considered a really viable option for us because it certainly is not affordable. We can't afford to pay the same amount that they pay for their per student cost. And we have no indication that they would be willing to enter into a long-term agreement. Things are not working out with Hallamont because we cannot find a clear way to get to a long-term arrangement with them, a permanent arrangement. And that's the real holdup. And that's what's brought this possibility down. So it seems to me like it's important to have something in there that explains that to parents. So that was my biggest thought about the introductory paragraph, that somehow in a sentence or two, being able to summarize why we are where we are right now. This is what has happened. And this is how come all of a sudden this is all coming up again. And I'm not sure a lot of people understand that. So then the other comments I had to make were more about the guts of the survey. I think there are a lot of people who are not going to understand what those initials are. BSE, CCS, HRS, they're not going to know. Some people aren't.
Sue, if I can interrupt quickly, those are my notes.
Okay.
In the online version, everything's spelled out completely.
Everything's spelled out, okay. And then question four, and this is just a formatting thing which makes more sense to me. Number one, you don't tell, you have to put something in there that tells which number means it's the highest priority and which means it's the lowest priority. You just say 1 through 5 of importance. So that needs to be clarified. But I didn't know if instead of having 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you just have number 4, which is please rate these, the things below. And then you have a little chart with those in it and a little graph line next to it with 1 through 5 so that they can just circle the one that where it falls in their priority list. And I also didn't know if you wanted to add in something like educational opportunities or community involvement or something along those lines as part of what people might rate as important.
Yeah,
I mean, educational opportunities really should be a major consideration.
Yep. So just a couple of quick follow-ups again. In the formatting in the Google form, it's clearly stated 1 to 5, 5 is most important.
Okay.
Yes, that's there. What you're looking at are the notes that we were working from, not the actual Google form, because that's still a work in progress.
Okay. All right. And number 9 has come up many times here. We've all had some questions about number 9. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I agree with you that it's nice to get people's thoughts about where their children should go, but it's a kind of question that just leads people to misunderstand the intent of the question. So I was just wondering about wording that might say, after they've done their priorities, which school do you see best meeting your family's priorities for education? If that would be less of a message to them that they're getting a chance to really choose. It's just asking which ones they see as meeting their personal priorities. It's just another way to look at it or word it. So those were my main things.
Thanks, Sue. And just before, and then I'll open it back up to the three of you, but I'm not going to repeat what Brian and Sue have said, because it basically, if I had started, you'd hear the same thing coming from me. Number 9, well, I'll back up and say surveys can be really helpful and they can be also really disastrous and just create more work afterwards, more cleanup work. But I totally understand the want to know what people are thinking. It just, to me, timing wise, since you're trying to get it in really quick, I do wonder if you'll get a thorough picture of what, you know, is everybody going to respond? You're only going to be able to hit people that are email. So there's other groups of people in Heath that are not going to be included. They're not going to have a chance to give their say. You know, what does that do if people are talking in town? I assume most of the students, parents, the families will get it because they're getting emails. I would say most are getting emails through the school system. So they have the ability to, so the group of people that you're targeting, I guess, and that you'll get the information from is families, right? Okay, Budge, I just want to keep going before I lose everything, but go ahead and say.
Right. Okay. Communication to the families is actually one of my biggest concerns, because I don't believe that the town list is very strong when it comes to younger folks in town and families. I've spoken to a number of families who did not receive the update, which I appreciate the select board having him send out. And so I'm still in the process of looking at ways of emphasizing to families through the schools, and may have to do it through a newsletter, that please look for this email or see if we can put a link on the website for this survey, because I'm not convinced that we're getting good, solid, really well-rounded feedback there. And that is obviously the most important.
Yeah. So that's a concern that's a concern I had just in general about the survey. And I agree from what Brian said. Obviously, I mean, I get it. You're not going to use this piece of paper and the answers from this to make your decisions. It's to give you a gut feeling maybe, or to get some type of insight. And it is good to get people's feedback. As many people who are willing to give feedback, it's nice to have that. It's just that everybody is coming from a different point of view. Everybody does have other information in their head. People have preferences. They have experiences. They know somebody who goes someplace. And they are, you know, thinking probably a good deal of them about themselves and their own situation, not necessarily their neighbor or the person who's going to move into town in 2 months that has 3 kids or 5 kids or who knows, or what happens in 6 months, or, you know, it's that bigger picture that isn't answered, I don't think, by the group of people who will respond. I just thought about it myself. Like if I received this, not having my own children, having never had children in the school system, how would I answer this? That's what I was trying to figure out for myself. Like what information would I give so that I felt I was giving help in thinking what I thought was best for all the families in Heath now and in the future. And I, you know, I was a little challenged as to how I'd answer it, but I get the want to do a survey. I understand it. And if it's felt to be the best thing to do, I would support it. I also am bothered by number nine. I think number nine's a loaded question. And I do agree with Sue that it probably could be worded a little differently. So as to make sure that people understand that, yeah, we're asking this question or you're asking this question to get the information based on what they think their family needs are. But it's not just about one family, right? It's about our whole town and everybody who's here. Whether you have one child, no child, you have five children, whatever it is, those who are here now, those who are coming, we hope there are more coming. So it's tough. It's interesting to me too, though, that the questions that you asked, like the availability of before and after school programs and the transportation, you guys have already kind of answered that for yourselves because you just gave us the update that things are pretty even, Stephen, between the schools. So some of that information you already have also. Bob, then Barbara.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know in case you didn't know that our first choice was to have the individual schools send this out to Heath students that would be in the schools. Bingo, bango, bongo. It goes right to those people and that would work great. However, that couldn't happen because both school committees, the Hallamont School Committee and the Mohawk School Committee would have had to meet, would have had to give their permission, and we really didn't have the time. And so we really did mull over, well, should we have a town meeting? Should we, you know, how do we do this? And we all came to an agreement that the best way was to try and get a survey out there through you, because then if you give your permission, it can happen right then and right there. And that's what we felt was most important, to get this on the road and get people to be able to answer those questions. And the other thing is, even when all is said and done, people have school choice. They right. can put down what they want here. Ultimately, Budge and Barbara are going to have to make a choice. And then, in a sense, that doesn't matter. Because even after all of that, parents can still decide that they want to send their kids to private schools, they want to send them to Rowe or Hallamont or wherever. And school choice has shuffled the deck in ways that nobody ever thought was going to happen. And right. it exists. It's a reality. And we have to deal with that as well. So we have to follow our agreement with Mohawk, which was that a decision would have to be made between the two choices that they gave us. And so that's what we're trying to do. I wish a better way had happened, but this is what we have now. This is the reality of what we have now.
And I think I understand that. And that's why I said I would support it if that's what you feel really gives you the information that is needed to make that decision or helps give you information. It won't give you all the information you need. Obviously, you guys have done your homework. You know, you've spoken to people. I agree with Brian. There's other entities that have done extensive research that probably have input to give. But if you believe that, this is my feeling alone, if you believe that this helps you or it, you know, it strengthens whatever decision, your ability to make a decision, then I support that. I just am cautious about how I do use surveys. That's all. Barbara, I know you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and thank you all for your feedback. It's really helpful. So I would like to further discuss what Sue had suggested in the first paragraph in introducing the survey, because, and coming from the direction that I actually saw the parent who sent all of us the email about you know, wanting to belong to Roe. And I was able to have a verbal discussion with that person about, you know, these are the facts of what we're dealing with. And you know, that's a great idea, but it's not what we're dealing with right now. What we're actually dealing with is a clause in our regional agreement has an expiration of a tuition agreement and has a deadline of a choice. And we already belong to Mohawk District. And we right now have two schools to choose from out of the three. And those are the possibilities right now. And after studying extensively the Hallamont future, we have suspended that for what Sue brought up was security for our children, for their education, and fiscal sustainability. So I do feel it's not only a wonderful idea, I feel it's the idea that we should definitely pursue, is to reword the entrance, the townspeople open this email, and this is where we are, why we're on a deadline, and why we have to choose an elementary school again. Because I can hear the townspeople going, we just did this, why are we doing it again? Why are we? And they have no idea. And in the future, we do have the possibility of, you know, speaking to families directly in virtual hall format, but that will be after data is gathered, and to answer those questions about, you know, yes, you will have school choice, and what do you do if you don't have a bus and things like that, because that's been brought up on the Hallamont School Committee level. And also, you know, I know Budge was at that meeting, and I heard that meeting where, you know, there may be discussions in the future for further questions for families, but this particular survey, I think we need to clear about the fact that, unfortunately, it is falling only on Budge and myself to make this decision. It's not like this, you know, let's call a town meeting, let's have a roundtable, let's chat and discuss. Like, we are literally facing a deadline on this, which I don't think the greater public is going to understand, no matter how much I correct it in person or by email. Or Budge is getting the word out. Budge, how do you feel about being more clear in the beginning paragraph?
I'm completely open to ideas for other just clarifications to throw in there. Please just send them to me by email. I don't think we want to use the select board's time doing the micro editing of those statements. Just send me an email. I'll work it out. What I'm really interested in is approval to ask Kilma to communicate this out via the town coordinator's email list. Once the three of us agree that it's good to go, get it out there. But yep, please do share ideas. Sue, I'd like some of your thoughts. Please send them along.
Yeah. So hold on one second, Hilma. So that is where I was going to direct this, was to just kind of get the final feedback from Sue and Brian that they either agree with me or disagree with me, that I'm fine. Personally, my personal feelings, I am fine with a survey going out, and I trust that you will word it correctly. But Hilma, what did you have to say? And then I'll open up to Brian and Sue.
Well, I was just going to say, I strongly recommend that you add a deadline date of when surveys need to be returned by, because otherwise, you know,
you won't get it.
Just keep coming and coming.
Yeah.
A year from now.
Yeah. So Brian, your feelings on a survey, are you comfortable saying okay to the survey?
Well, I think we charged this group with figuring out how to investigate this problem and to come up with recommendations. So if they want to, if this is what they feel is a tool they need, then I certainly support it.
Okay.
We just evaluate or we gave our opinions about maybe what some of the concerns might be in the way questions are framed, or question, you know, how many questions should be asked or deleted. But nonetheless, this is what they want to do, and we have to support this.
Sue?
I think with the time frame that they've got in front of them, if this is something they feel will be helpful, that we should support it. They've heard our thoughts on it. Hopefully sometimes having several people discuss things and take a closer look helps you find modifications that are helpful and more meaningful in the work that you're doing. So hopefully the discussion that we've had will kind of lead them into some improvements in what they've already created here and do the best they can. I mean, we're pretty much caught between a rock and a hard place here. I mean, you know, we have to do something.
Yep. Yeah.
If we had to make a choice between Buckland, Shelburne, and Coleraine, I wouldn't be able to do it without coming to you and saying, well, how do we make this decision? You know, because I don't know enough about those two schools. I just heard that they're about the same distance. The class sizes are about the same. What else is it that we need to know? And we would